Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder how important it should be for evangelical Christians to have a Christian president. Not merely a president who claims to be Christian, as Donald Trump has, but one who truly understands what it means to be born again, one who shows the fruit of being a Christian. How important is that? Well, my friend, as a Christian apologist, let me tell you, not as much as you'd think. Before I go on, many pastors around President Trump, I'm not one of them, but many pastors around President Trump have vouched for the sincerity of his commitment to Christ. More on that in just a few minutes. But first, just to be practical in my answer to your question, because we have an election coming up in just a couple of days and we need to cut to the bone. There is not much time left. So practicality is important right now. We don't have time for a lot of philosophical and theological debates. Just to be practical, no, politically, it should not matter anyway whether Trump is truly a Christian or not. My friends, let's go back to the 70s. Jimmy Carter both claimed and seemed to understand what it meant to be born again. And maybe he was. I don't know the man's heart. Seemed like a nice guy. I don't know his heart. I didn't know his motives. Cannot see inside another person's heart. I do know this. Jimmy Carter was not a good president. He was a terrible president. His weak position enabled downright terrorists to hold Americans hostages in an American embassy for about a year. His position on abortion was not pro-life. In any event, my concern, and I made this clear on many recent programs, my concern is a president's actions. My concern is a president's policies, not his personality. Now, I did an entire program about that just a few days ago. Today, I am going to address a few comments from listeners regarding this particular show, including a comment about Trump's Christianity. If you have not heard the program, it's a very important one titled, A Challenge to Evangelical Christians Who Have Problems with Trump. In this show, I challenge people to look at Trump's accomplishments and contrast them to the platform and enabling of special interest groups from the Biden side of the election, including downright infanticide, defunding of police, shredding our Constitution, and many other hideous things that you'd only think you'd see in an apocalyptic movie, but it's happening around us. Whether or not these issues are as important as a man's interruptions or tweets is a serious question. For me, it's a very simple answer. We need to get some perspective. Anyway, that is The Bob Siegel Show, episode 82, A Challenge to Evangelical Christians Who Have Problems with Trump. I hope you will listen to this program, and if it makes sense, send it out to as many as you can with only a few days left before Election Day. I assure you, our republic literally weighs in the balance. There are many good things from many people you could send out, people much better known than me. This is merely my own contribution. But I do it diplomatically. I do it passionately. The feedback I've gotten from people is that it makes a lot of sense and they are using it. And those of you who subscribe already have this particular Bob Siegel Show podcast on your listening device. If you're not a subscriber, you can still hear this program at cgmradio.com/Bob. That's cgmradio.com/Bob. And while you're there, for Pete's sake, subscribe, will you? Okay. Listener responses to the program. In question. Linda on Facebook, referring to this program, says, excellent. This issue needs to be addressed from every corner of American Christianity. Trust me, it was forwarded to several people as soon as I finished it. I have a question for you. In your learned opinion, do you think the manner in which Christians are being treated currently, churches closed, no singing, etc., is the beginning of the persecution of the church? Or is this just some horrible phase in sociological behavior? Well, first of all, Linda, thank you for your kind words. To answer your question, it is the beginning of persecution that will continue, depending on the upcoming election, and possibly, even if Trump wins, continuing after that, depending on what state we live in. A lot of people on Facebook who hit the like button, and Ron on Facebook shares the show on his own post with the caption, for those still open, just to listen. Greg Jarvis is a personal friend who's been on the program, and he wrote a long letter of which I'll read just part for the sake of time. Greg says, had listened to this show the other day, very good, by the way. Well, that was the most important part of Greg's comment. Did you catch the part where he said very good? Okay, as long as you caught that, I'll go on and read the rest. So he says, very good, thought I'd read it a second time. Then, Greg says, the very next day, had a conversation with someone who checked each and everything off of your list about not liking the president. This was a list, ladies and gentlemen, where I was appealing to the things I know most people don't like about the president. I myself have not had as much of a problem with them, but he means when I was talking to people asking about the things they don't like. So it says he's talking to this person, going down that list. They checked off everything about the list about not liking the president. Greg says, I mean, it was textbook. I then asked if they could name one thing, just one, that the president has accomplished. Nope, not one. Now, before a lot of the hoopla, I probably couldn't have named one either. One reason is that the mainstream media isn't reporting much on accomplishments unless it's an opportunity to undermine, discount, or minimize it or disregard it altogether. It was an interesting conversation. Sad that some out there, because of hate, will vote in another direction that kind of thrives on hate, somewhat ironic. But, Greg says, it caused me to go out and look up accomplishments and shoot. He has about 10 O's in that shoot. And shoot, there are a lot of them. PrayVoteStand.org listed many, but they had a specific focus on the First Amendment and on life. So I looked up some more. Then I found a New York Times online article written by Farrah Stockman called A Fact-Checked List of Trump's Accomplishments. I thought. A liberal paper looking at accomplishments, a fact-checked one to boot. It doesn't take long to read through the 123 items, though you do have to scroll a bit past tons of advertising thrown at you. It's so interesting that there are so many items listed, 123, and it's not an exhaustive list either. However, the author does do what you might expect, such as undermining, discounting, and minimizing most of them. Kind of nice when one comes up and her only comment is true. Proverbs 18:17 couldn't be more true, Greg says. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Although even the one stating their case first sometimes sounds so wrong right out of the gate. Problem is that there doesn't seem to be another, quote unquote, to come and examine in the mainstream media. However, if one looks online for articles, videos, etc., there are a lot of others to examine and present another side. And that other side is so often insightful. Then there's the side benefit of just running across little things that you'd never necessarily go out and look for. Anyway, Greg said a lot more than that, but for the sake of time, I will move on. This is from Tim, frequent listener, frequent commenter. He says, regarding Monday's show, interesting addition. After listening, I think the key takeaway is the ends justifies the means. Although I am not a Christian, I did take interest in watching remarks at a recent national prayer breakfast that Trump attended. The minister's remarks just prior to Trump speaking focused on a key tenet of Christianity, loving one's enemy. One does not need to be a Christian to appreciate the deep value of this principle. Trump's immediate response upon taking the stage was not only to disregard this fundamental principle of human decency and enlightenment, but to sincerely and explicitly mock it. For me, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Setting aside specific policy and social destruction arguments, there is always a limit to how much of one's principles a person is willing to sacrifice. But everyone has a different line that they draw in that regard. I appreciate that you are willing to acknowledge that good people and good Christians can disagree on this issue, which helps explain how a growing number of evangelicals are unwilling to continue with the Faustian bargain of Trump. Well, let me respond. I appreciate the kind words, Tim. However, I had no intention of conveying any takeaway about the ends justifying the means. I was emphasizing the policies of the opposing side, which included justification of literal infanticide, not an option for anyone claiming to follow and express the love of Christ. Frankly, not an option for any decent human being, but depending on news sources, many Christians and others are unaware of this, so there's a sincerity in that regard. I also stress the elimination of our freedoms as Christians that could happen, which should also be a concern to any American, not just Christian, any American who believes in our Constitution. Not only is freedom of religion under assault, freedom of speech is under assault, the Second Amendment is under assault. Anyway, concerns over these matters, Tim, to the point of overlooking a man's rudeness are hardly a Faustian bargain of Trump. The play Dr. Faustus, written by Marlowe, a contemporary of William Shakespeare, an excellent play, by the way, one which I studied in college as a drama major, yes, excellent, but it had to do with making compromising deals for the sake of power and greed. Is it power and greed for a Christian to be concerned about babies' lives? Is it power and greed to want our children to grow up in a free country? Is it power and greed to want freedom to preach the gospel and warn people of a movement that sooner or later plans to make that against the law and already has infringed on many of our religious freedoms? To be more concerned about those items than Trump's personality is not a Faustian bargain. As for Trump and his comment about loving enemies, and you calling this the straw that broke the camel's back, I realize that you are not talking as a professing Christian, which you openly admit, and I respect that, but the very hallmark of Christianity is someone who confesses not only to sin, but is honest about struggles, honest about doubts. For Donald Trump to not only be honest, but honest in public about how he struggles to forgive people or love his enemies in no way, shape, or form is a deal breaker. And I didn't see any mocking. He got up and he said, "Arthur, I don't know if I agree with you." Well, that's a little bit understandable regarding the fact that Pelosi and Schumer and so many others had just literally impeached him. It didn't get through the Senate, but they impeached him over a phone call regarding Joe Biden, which time has shown us was a very legitimate phone call and a legitimate question. But anyway, whatever you think about that, these guys just tried to impeach him. Of course, he's going to struggle with how much he loves them. He's a human being. That kind of honesty we do not find in most politicians, that kind of honesty we do not find in most Christians. How many people today will easily admit that loving our enemies is a struggle? Admit that they struggle with it? Admit that they wonder about it? Now, while it's true, and I want to go back to this, it's true that my passionate plea to fellow evangelicals made the statement that Trump's personal relationship with God, or lack thereof, is irrelevant to the question of his policies, and I still stand by that. It is irrelevant to the question of his policies. Just to be fair, just to show the other side, there are pastors around Donald Trump who do vouch for his Christianity. One of them is Pastor Jim Garlow, who has been a guest several times on my radio show and was a guest again only a few months ago. At that time, on the air, Garlow reiterated his convictions about where Trump stands spiritually in his opinion. You see, Pastor Garlow is one of the pastors who has been in Washington, has been on Trump's spiritual advisory circle, and one of the pastors who has had an opportunity to observe him up close. Now, I know Jim Garlow well. Aside from him being on my radio show over the years, we worked together for many years and even did joint sermons together for many of these same years at Skyline Church. I have not met Donald Trump. I do know Jim Garlow. I know him as a man of integrity. I know him as a man who challenges Christians to live up to their faith constantly. That was the reason he was on my show. He and Everett Piper and I were challenging evangelical pastors who were compromising. Both Garlow's words and his observations carry weight with me. I assure you, I assure anybody listening right now, if Jim Garlow did not believe Trump was a true Christian, he would never say that in a million years. He would be the first to admit that he can't look inside of his heart either, but he at least has been up close to the president and observing things that the public doesn't always get a chance to see. I am going to read something that Pastor Jim Garlow wrote. He wrote this on a Facebook post commenting on a recent interview Trump did where he talked himself about a recent dedication to Christ. Jim Garlow says, "Pastor Paula White led Donald Trump to faith in Christ before he became a candidate for the presidency. Vice President Mike Pence stated at a White House dinner in May of 2017 that the president has prayed to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior, with the president sitting only about 10 feet away. I have been with the president 6 or 7 times in a group of about 25 of us to larger groups and have observed him grow. We all recognize that he has more growth to experience, don't we all? But I have seen him develop spiritually. On one occasion, in a hotel ballroom in front of a large crowd, he openly admitted how hard it was for him to live by the principles of forgiveness in Christianity. If we were all transparent, we would all admit to how hard this can be. The first time that pastors placed hands on him to pray for him, he was shocked, looking over his shoulders at the hands on him, wondering what on earth was going on. Within a few months, he would say to us, "Lay hands on me and pray for me." Now, Pastor Garlow wrote a lot more. I encourage everybody to read this in its entirety. This complete Facebook post is now up at cgm.news. That's cgm.news, the same CGM as the CGM radio network that carries my podcast. Speaking of my podcast, that's it for today. And this is going to be it for our country one way or the other very, very soon. And this is also Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.